When one is receiving something that one wants or needs, one in that instant will feel grateful. Right? And I am sure that the pilgrim's gratitude to the Native Americans was heartfelt and quite genuine at the moment. But it seemed to be very narrow, in the sense, ultimately, it was just about them, wasn't it? And I think the bigger issue of what gratitude is about seemed to be lost on them, even though I gather, as I remember their story, they were religious people, weren't they? Who had fled England because of perceived religious persecution and were looking for a place to come to practice freely. Now, obviously, even a short-term gratitude is better than no gratitude. So I guess on the developmental level, to acknowledge when somebody does something kind to you or helpful to you or saves your life, so to speak, to be grateful to them, to acknowledge one's connection to them and that the person is doing something that is beneficial or kind or good to me, I think that is the beginning of it. That is the self coming out of its total narcissism and beginning to acknowledge at least that someone is doing something kind for us. I mean, you know with our children, we have to teach them what? To say thank you. And those of us who remember being children, we remember. It didn't come natural to us. We had to be taught, say thank you. And we were taught a little bit about being grateful when someone gave us a present. This is that time of year when people get presents. So we are taught when we are young to say thank you and to write thank you notes to people and say thank you. I mean, we are socially trained that way, which seems to be an acknowledgement that that is developmentally healthy, or healthier than living in a world where we think everything just comes to me and there's no acknowledgement. So I think the development of gratitude is a developmental phase that the human mind has to go through. And so again, it begins in the complete narcissism of childhood, where we think everything comes our way, and we just rip the package right open and get right into it without until our parents remind us to say thank you to the person who gives that, and then we look up and we say thank you, and then we go right back into it. So over time, I think we develop the capacity to be thankful for people who give us things. Obviously, there are things that we like or need or want. And again, I would say that's a development. But it's still very self-based, isn't it? And it's still really based on things. Getting things or people doing things for us that we like. But I think when one enters a spiritual path like we have entered, we have to go beyond that fairly constricted sense of gratitude or being thankful. Earlier this morning in my meditation, I was trying to feel what it's like to be grateful. Is there a feeling of gratitude? And I really couldn't find it. That there was something specific like that, you know. But what I found was it was more like a view, sort of like the way one sees things, sees life. And that when that view of gratitude was present, we could say, that there was some feelings inside, a kind of an openness, a warmth, sense of well-being, sort of a non-self connection to life, people, that from having grateful thoughts, from one having a view of life and people and situations that was based in gratitude, very positive kinds of feelings arise within one. In the same way, when I generated the mind of ingratitude, which is also a view, a perception, a way of looking at life, very different feelings arose. Rather than a sense of a fulfillment, feeling full, there was a sense of lack. Where there was a sense of rightness, there was a sense of wrongness. Where there was a sense of openness, there was a sense of constriction or closeness. So I think something certainly could be said that gratitude is a way of relating, looking, perceiving life and situations, and ingratitude is the same. So therefore, our parents were on to something when they told us to say thank you to Uncle so and so, and so, and Aunt so and so, and to get on the phone and say thank you for the gift. You know, they were on to something, but probably not on to it enough. So let's go the opposite way. So if one lives from a point of view of ingratitude, which many people have, we are always looking at life in terms of what it's not giving us. And that view could be in all directions. It could be in relationships, it could be in work, it could be in society, it could be in our bodies, I mean, it could be in the way our homes, our things. I mean, it's basically, looking at life, perceiving life in terms of what's missing, what's wrong, what should be happening, what I should be getting, how people should be treating me, how my life should be unfolding. And so coming at life from that sense of what's wrong, coming at life from a place of dissatisfaction, I think creates a mind state which is fundamentally a mind state that is one of suffering. And one might not even know that those feelings one has of disconnection, of aloneness, of separation, of unhappiness, of constriction inside, is basically caused by this fundamental view and perception one has of life, right? But that is the case. And the ground of that is that we are living from our perspective of myself. My view of life and relationships is all about coming from a place of me and what I think me deserves, should be getting, should be receiving. And again, it could be in the world of things, it could be world of relationships, it could just be how life is unfolding. And I truly believe that fundamental view, again, which is still somewhat the narcissism of childhood, but we've been socialized somewhat. You see, we've been socialized, so we can put a kind of a half-decent public face on it. But I think underneath, it's that same view of looking at life in the world from the point of view, it's all about me and what's coming to me and what's not coming to me. And obviously, we were always thinking what? more should be coming. That's a given. Because whatever's coming, it's never enough. Right? Yeah. Now, since this practice of Buddha Dharma, since this practice of the Buddha way, is fundamentally a practice of non-self, and fundamentally sees that the attachment to self, the belief in a self, etc., etc., is the source of our suffering, we can see that what is called gratitude or thanksgiving, giving thanks or thankfulness, is a natural evolutionary state and is a natural outgrowth of our practice of beginning to come out of this fundamental narcissism that we came into life with, and learning to notice what? That there are others out here too. Wow. Who would have thought that there's a whole world out there of other people with their needs and wants, and that somehow I am connected to them, and that there are two things that can happen. I can learn to generate the mind, the perception, the view, that notices how much I am the recipient of others. See, usually our view is very narrow. It's sort of like, what have you done for me today? Right? And many people in our life, in many situations in our life, they only get it for one day, because they got to earn it again the next day. Because we are people who keep score of what life or people are doing for us. We are scorekeepers. But when one develops a broader view of things, one realizes I am and have been the recipient of so much in this life that it is incalculable. Right? I am the recipient of what? First of all, I was a recipient of the gift of life from my parents. They gave that to me. And actually, I'm the recipient of life through my grandparents and my great-grandparents and all, right? That they all, it is only because of them that I am here and able to be alive. What a gift for which I did nothing. For which I did nothing and probably maybe never said thank you for the gift of life. Right? We were the gift of doctors and nurses and hospitals and all kinds of things that brought us into this life. Right? But we don't even realize that that's only the beginning. There were people who built that hospital. Construction workers, electrician, plumbers. Right? How did our parents get us to the hospital? On roads. People built the roads. People built the car. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. Right? The food we eat. The clothes we wear. Every implement probably we have in our homes comes to us because of this world of interconnection, this world of giving. And it's not like it has to all be conscious. It just happens. I mean, perhaps in this life we've been lucky enough to be the recipient of somebody's love. somebody's friendship, somebody's caring, right? Somebody's help, somebody's support, endless kindnesses, incalculable kindnesses, we can't even remember them, that have constantly, more or less, occurred in our life. Everything we know that we can speak, that we learned how to speak, that we learned how to read, all these things is only because of others. If we have careers, if we have professions, if we have crafts, right? I mean, all the things we have done is because of others. And yet we live in this prison of self that is always asking, why doesn't somebody do something for me? You see how distorted that is? All around us, from the beginning of our life, there has been this outpouring of life to us. And yet we only think it's all about me. Look at all I've done in this life. Look at all I do for others. Right? I mean, how could any great acts of generosity and giving that we did our whole life ever repay what we have received? And I haven't even begun to talk about the earth, the sky, flowers, right? Look, we put flowers up here, right? You know, the generosity of the earth. We have a Buddha, a beautiful Buddha on the altar. Made hundreds of years ago by we don't know who, and yet we have this gift, the altar. I mean, it just goes on and on. We are here today because somebody made cushions and mats, and people came early today and cleaned, and we come into fresh bathrooms, and right, only because of the gift of others. When one has that view, or I would better to say, when one learns how to cultivate that view and generate that view, we will become very quickly happy human beings. Right? Happy human beings. Again, one of the great lines that I've always loved from Thich Nhat Hanh, where he said, if we are not grateful, we suffer. You know, very black and white. If we do not live in gratitude, we will suffer. Are there any questions about that before I get going here? Yes.
So it sounds to me like you're saying that when one reflects on the interconnectedness of everything and oneself in relation to those things, that gratitude isn't something you kind of have to practice. That it sounds like the practice of seeing things as they really are, gratitude will naturally stem out of that.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that one has to learn how to generate it.
Gratitude.
I mean, it's a view. It's like in Buddha Dharma, we learn to see things clearly. And part of seeing things clearly is seeing things as they really are, and not how we've distorted them. So we learn that things are not permanent, even though they appear that way. We learn that fundamentally things are impermanent. We learn that even though things appear solid, they are actually made up of parts, and parts are made up of parts. We learn how everything is interconnected and everything affects everything else, right? So we develop right view, okay, in the perceptual way. Okay. In the same way, to see clearly just what I was explaining, how we are endlessly the recipient of so much kindness and support and caring, will naturally generate this view of what we're calling gratitude. But it's got to be generated. Okay? Over time, when that view is thoroughly digested, it will become part of you. You will not have to be practicing it. It will just be your view. The same way you will naturally have a view of impermanence and non-self and all these things. But that is, you know, we have to cultivate and generate, because this other way of perceiving life and living life is so ingrained in us. So ingrained for us, especially in our society. We live in a very individualistic society. We do not grow up in a society where we are taught from early age that we are connected, right? We, you know, connected to the family, connected to the tribe, connected to society, you know. We are brought up in a very atomized kind of way, right? And people think in this world that they've gotten ahead in life. Why? Because of my efforts, right? Because I've gotten ahead of my, because of my efforts, then I should be able to keep everything I make, right? Because it's all about me and my efforts, which is crazy, right? How can you make money by yourself? I mean, that's like, you know, Monopoly or something. But that's not real. I mean, it's so distorted. But again, we live in a culture where ingratitude and selfishness and lack of real thanksgiving is, unfortunately, for many sectors of society, the norm. And it's just distorted. It doesn't see clearly. Anybody who has been successful in this life is only successful because of the of others, countless others, millions and millions of others. And if people don't see that, it's because they are just living within the narrowness of self and do not live in the openness of interconnection, interbeing. That's why people who accumulate things for themselves are not happy people. How do we know they're not happy people? Because they always got to go out there and accumulate more and do more. And it's, you know, happy people are happy. And they understand life is about the generosity, giving and helping, not about accumulating more for me. Any other question? Yes.
You mentioned loneliness.
Mm-hmm.
When you're feeling that, is that a manifestation of wrong view?
Well, again, I think there are two. The question is loneliness as a feeling extension of wrong view? It depends what's causing the loneliness, I guess I would say. In other words, one could be home, right? In one's home. And one can be in one's home content, right? Feeling good. And then a day later, one can be in one's home, same home, and feel lonely. Well, what's changed? Same home, same person. Perception has changed, right? Yesterday being alone was okay. Today being alone is not okay, right? So it's important that, again, we understand that many of these feeling states that we feel are self-generated. Okay. On the other hand, if there's possibility for one, and one doesn't live, on a desert island or something, if one understands that human beings, kind of like we're kind of social animals, let's say, then obviously to want a social relationship, right, is normal, isn't it? Right. To acknowledge that one is alone too much or is missing that is also healthy, isn't it? But if you ask me, loneliness is often a sense of, within myself right now, I don't feel good. Mm-hmm. And we know that one of the things that we learn in this practice is, as Thich Nhat Hanh says, right, one can always be happy in the here and now. You know, to know that one can always be happy in the here and now, that by calming the mind and quieting the mind and connecting with the body breath and the open spacious quality of mind, one can naturally feel good and doesn't need anything, is the ground. But that doesn't mean, I don't need anybody. It means I don't need anybody to be happy. I know how to be happy on my own, but at the same time, it's nice to be happy with other people too, right? See, it's like that. Many people are around lots of other people and feel lonely because they don't feel that inner sense of well-being. Yes.
Speaking on gratitude, sometimes I have feelings of gratitude and have felt sense of guilt of feeling unworthy, and why do I have all these blessings when so many people don't have them, and there seems to be a side to gratitude that I should struggle with, that maybe survivor guilt, why did the people die in that plane crash and I didn't, and, or why do we have so many blessings when, or things that make life comfortable. And then there's so much suffering. And how do you deal with that kind of sense of guilt that you belong there?
Yeah, so just repeating the question. So the question is, she's saying, well, I feel a lot of gratitude for the things in my life, the blessings of my life, all the good things that are come in my life. But at the same time, like, I have guilt a lot about a lot of it. You know, why me, or how about all the others who don't have? And I feel kind of bad or guilty about these blessings. So I would say that's half good, but a little twisted. Okay? So if one has had in this life good fortune, one should feel grateful. Knowing that many in this life, and maybe you at other times in your life, had experienced what's called, we all experience, bad fortune, makes us grateful when we have good fortune. So that's, to feel gratitude that things are, let's say, have come to you or are good for you, again, is good, natural. But to understand, again, like I said, that it's not just because of you. If there are good things in your life now, it's not just because of you, it's because of many others. And that's important to acknowledge. Rather than this, my good fortune. No, if we have good fortune, it's because lots of causes and conditions have come to make that, which involves many, many other people. Okay? Now, how about all the others? That's what you're saying. Yeah, I think rather than feeling guilty, which is a kind of a Western thing, right. I think it's important that we, if things were good for you, right? And one of your brothers was not going well for him, and you felt, let's say this was a good relationship, you felt connected, then what? What would you do?
I would try to share that with
you. Okay, there you go. So to look around the world and see there are so many people who don't have the many of the good things that I've had, right. Guilt doesn't help them, does it? And holding on to all my stuff, you know, I am so blessed, I'm going to hold on to it as long as I can, is not the answer either. But it's really acknowledging that and wanting to share that. Right? So, I mean, that's why in our practice, you know, we generate, you know, may all beings be free of this and that, and this and that. May all beings have enough to eat. May all beings. Now, again, I mean, to say it is not, you know, it's got to go beyond saying it. It's helping, wanting to share, wanting to help others. Yeah. To because when one notices the interconnection, one notices, you know. I mean, you know, there's lots of things in the paper these days about many of the people who work in sort of the lower, more menial jobs don't even earn enough to support themselves, right? And these are people that we interact with. You know, these are people who wait on us. These are people who serve us. These are people who clean up after us, you know, to kind of notice that all they're doing for us and how we are the recipients, and therefore one would think, well, I want them to be able to eat enough and have enough for their children and to have, right? I mean, that's sort of this sense of gratitude. See, the ingratitude is, you know, how cheap can I buy him? Right? There's no sense of relationship there. There's no sense of gratitude for what they're doing for us. You see, so it's a way of looking at life that I think has, you know, has meaning in the real world. But it's not political. It's ethical. It's moral. It comes from a sense of interconnection, just like you say. Right? I mean, if you feel she is in the great, you know, I have enough to eat and I have a nice house and I have, you know what I mean? You know, wouldn't it be nice if at least everybody could have that? Right? You know, if you say, well, it's just, you know, I've had good fortune. But, you know, is there ways that I can help others have good fortune? Let me raise a thing we haven't, just hold on, and then I just want to make sure I get to this. So what I've talked about so far is sort of probably a college level gratitude. But now I want to go up to the PhD level. In Buddhism, gratitude is taught at the PhD level. How about those situations that are painful? How about those situations that are difficult? How about those people who give us a hard time? How about those people who actually cause us suffering? How about those people who cause suffering to those I love? You know, the people I care about, right? Right? How about those? And in Buddhism, we are taught to be grateful to that, which is very interesting. Because again, I think all of us can get everything we've talked about so far, right? But it's that, you know, there's another whole piece of life that we all experience, right? And that our loved ones experience. Can we be thankful for that? Can we be grateful for that, for them? And that's where it gets a little more difficult. In one of the classic texts on the way of the Bodhisattva, the way of the enlightened being by Shantideva, a wonderful text about the full breadth of this path of awakening, he says very clearly that if one is on this path to develop oneself, to develop love and understanding and patience, we need to be equally grateful, we could say, to the Buddhas, the teachers, the one who inspire us, who show us the way. 50%, he said, goes to them, and 50% goes to the people who give us a hard time in the difficult times. He says, it's 50-50. The way he put it, he said, you know, you have to give equal credence to the Buddhas and ordinary people. Because he says, without ordinary people doing what ordinary people do, you would never follow the Buddha's way. So therefore, you might say to yourself, should I owe more gratitude to? Right? Right? From who do I really learn how to love? The people who are always nice and kind to me and love me and do everything I want, right? Are those the people who really teach me how to love? Right? How do I learn to let go of my narrow views of life and how people should be and think and feel if there weren't people in the world who think and feel and, you know, totally different than me? Right? How am I ever gonna develop that capacity? If I'm always around like-minded people. Again, if everything goes my way, right? How am I ever going to learn to deal with difficult situations? How am I going to learn to let go? How am I going to learn to flow with life rather than always having to control it? If I didn't have to deal with all different kinds of situations in life, some go my way, some don't go my way, how am I going to let go to my attachment to this life if I'm always happy when things go up and unhappy when things go down? Where do I learn equanimity? Where do I learn balance? You know, how do I learn, again, not to be a controlling, manipulative person other than people who push back, don't do what I want? So you can see from that point of view, you can see why it is said that those who give us the most difficulty, those situations that are most trying, are the ones that help us generate, learn that we have this capacity. And all these are capacities of what of an enlightened mind. So, it is said that we are grateful, we generate gratitude for situations and for people that are most difficult. It is said in the mind trainings that, in truth, our worst enemy is our best friend. Again, which sounds so completely contradictory to how we would want to set up our life, right? Right? It is, in a certain sense. But if you believe that I really need to learn to open my heart to everyone, right? We are willing, for those we love and like and are on our side, we are certainly willing to be understanding of them, aren't we? We certainly want to understand their suffering, don't we? But the person who gives us a hard time, the person who totally has different views on us, sees the world totally differently, we don't want to acknowledge that they suffer, do we? That they're human beings too. That they may love their children and be sad when their children are killed, their brothers and sisters are killed. We don't want to acknowledge that, do we? So, to be able to generate a gratitude for all these so-called negative, difficult situations in the world, because they have the capacity to really wake us up to our capacity to love and understand. Therefore, we are grateful to those who do it exactly opposite than us. We are grateful for difficult situations. Again, this is not masochism. So make sure there's nobody hearing this the wrong way in here. This is not saying that, you know, if we have our druthers, we would rather things go our way than not go our way. We would rather that people treat us loving rather than treat us hatefully, okay? I mean, that's understood. I'm not suggesting that you go out of your way to be around miserable people, okay? Find the worst job you can, you know, and just... But what I'm saying is, in the course of life, we will encounter all this. And if we don't encounter it, those we know will, or others will. And again, it's really how we deal with it inside. So we can transform ourselves. Right? So the same love that we give people, the same understanding and compassion we give people that we love, even if they do bad things. Right? Even if they do bad things, we will always, if we love them, try to understand them. Understand the cause and conditions that have made them do what they do. Want them to be rehabilitated. Want them to be helped. Want to help them change, right? But for somebody else who's doing the same thing over here, we have only negative thoughts about them. You know, and want them to be punished. Want them to be killed. But if it was somebody we loved or care about, or somebody we identified with, or doing the same thing, you know, totally opposite. So again, how do we develop that open-heartedness? How do we devote that wide heart of compassion that has compassion for all beings, who's touched by the suffering of all beings, who's willing to understand everyone, understand the causes and conditions that are creating the situation or the person, so we can deal with them in an intelligent way, in a helpful way, in a skillful way. It's only by willing to accept these situations and to be grateful for them. In Zen, we say, you know, when things go well, you put your hands together in gratitude. When things aren't going well, you put your hands together in gratitude. See? Right? If they love you, you put your hands in gratitude. If they hate you, you put your hands in gratitude. Right? If things are going well for you, you put your hands in gratitude. If things aren't going well for you, you put your hands in gratitude. Right? That's a deep practice. That's the practice of gratitude, where one understands one's connection with life, and is grateful for the opportunity that life is giving one to learn how to be a real human being like that. So good. So questions about this practice. Yes.
Not a question, but share, just put things in perspective. Thank you. I had a supervisor for my internship in Rackham 40 years ago. And I thought he was a very patronizing, condescending, somewhat unkind kind of guy, you know. So I was dying to get transferred to another site because I wasn't going to learn anything. And then I realized, you know, he's just the guy I need. Mm-hmm. And I've always referred to him for 4 years in my mind as Dr. Opposite. And I based my professional development on everything he wouldn't do. something that came out of that.
Yeah.
So I've always felt a special kind of gratitude for this fellow.
Yeah.
You know, I really thank you a lot for helping me stay true.
Yeah, so Gary's sharing sort of, the example of the opposite, you know, where one can, even if one's in a negative, around a negative person, one can then inspire them to do opposite because you see so clearly what that is like. So in a certain sense, you can generate gratitude to that person. But again, when you're willing also to understand him and to see what kind of causes and conditions would create a man like that. And what was it really like to be him? You would understand he was probably not a happy human being, was he? He was not a human being at peace in himself. And so that moves you in a different way than when we just see him as a, you know, just this, you know, negative human being, you know, we just want to get away from. It softens us to see it that way. Yes.
I'm sort of struggling with gratitude as supporting the ego and the state of self that we're trying to get away from.
Mm-hmm.
That if we were focusing on being grateful, like what's happened to us as individuals, that sort of question.
Yeah, the question is?
Well, do we have to be careful about gratitude in that it can sort of focus us on our sort of individual experience, psyche, selves, and, you know, not sort of, you know, this notion of we're not separate from each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. So the question is about just gratitude as kind of an ego practice or something. Yeah. So again, to me, it's developmental. So just you begin with yourself, right? And again, the very narrowest, you're just grateful for all the things that people are doing for you. Okay. Now to turn that around and notice, oh, my happiness, my well-being, a lot of these things are conditioned by others. You know, it's like I'm beginning to look out and notice, oh, there's a lot going, you know, there are other people out there, other conditions, other situations. There are people who grow my food and people who make the roads and people who make the cars and people who build the buildings and you know what I mean? Oh, you know, so even though I'm benefiting, I'm beginning to notice interconnection. Right? Interconnection, which is so important, because when I notice interconnection, then I feel connected to other people. Right? If I feel connected to other people, then maybe I begin to care about them. Right? I mean, real gratitude is wanting to give. Right? Gratitude to me, with this gratitude, there's also generosity. Right? I mean, usually, you know, when you get together for holidays, right, we give gifts to each other. Little children are the only ones who are just the recipients of gifts. As we grow up, we know, oh, at least it's mutual. You know, I can make somebody else happy. Because I know that when someone is kind to me, someone is supportive of me, someone says a nice thing to me, that makes me happy. Oh, you know, maybe I can give that gift to others. So it's a developmental model where it starts with the self, but over time it becomes more selfless. As one notices one's interconnection. It also means, you know, in Buddhism, there's something called taking joy in the joy in others, which is really a big one, right? See, it's no longer about, you know, I'm grateful for what's coming my way. When I see somebody doing something good to someone else, that makes me happy. is a big one. That's really getting out of the self and just kind of, oh, when I see, you know, oh, when you hear about something good happening to somebody, made it happy, you say, isn't that wonderful? I'm so happy for you. I'm happy because they're happy. I'm not happy because they're happy getting the, you know what I'm saying, like the way I want them to be. So it's looking around the world with a very different kind of openness. It doesn't have to be about me at all.
It can be dangerous with generosity that you not have a certain effect on them by giving them that thing.
Yeah. In Buddhism, giving is always done without attachment to what happens, right? If one is giving, wanting something in return or some effect, that's generosity outwardly, but inwardly it's just ego building. Yeah. Yes.
I'm curious, and I've been thinking a lot about the view of victimhood and how constricting it is and difficult to generate understanding and gratitude. And I think that I'm enjoying looking deeply into that, but I'm looking deeply into that because as a view of victimhood, I mean, it's just not black.
Yeah, so just repeating for the mic, it's just a comment about recent events and how they can cause a very narrowing of view. How victimhood is a view. Because again, in victimhood there's no understanding, there's no bigger picture. It's just about me and my suffering, which is really what we're talking about here. It doesn't deny that there is suffering going on. It doesn't deny that somebody has caused myself or a loved one pain, but it's the way I am dealing with it in a way that deepens my understanding, that deepens my compassion. And it doesn't mean that I, don't do anything, right? But it means that I'm acting from a different place. I mean, even, events like what you're talking about recently in Ferguson, the hope is something good could come out of that, right? You know, and in that sense, in a weird kind of way, you would say, well, it's in a way, it's good that it happened. Because out of this may come something that may have, woken people up, right? So it's a lot of things like that. I mean, there are many things in our own life when we look back at the time that we thought were tragedies, right? That we thought were terrible. And yet, in time, many of us look back on these events, these relationships, and go, I'm glad that happened. That was good for me, or that woke me up, or that changed my life. Each of us in our own lives know that we have a way of turning around situations that at the time appeared to be sources of suffering, but in hindsight, they really were beneficial. And we're grateful to them. So good. So please reflect on this. Don't just leave it here. And really, if you look at your own life and you realize that your own life is being lived from this sense of ingratitude, or more subtly, just kind of a dissatisfaction. What's wrong? What am I missing? How come I'm not getting what I deserve? Looking at your life, noticing everything that shouldn't be happening, whatever. Please turn it around. It's only making you suffer. And there's another whole way of looking at your life that I've done my best to present today, which may be called living a life of gratitude. It's very deep. But in and of itself, it is highly transforming. You will feel differently.